Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Cleveland-based jazz drummer and composer Anthony Taddeo. We had a good talk about his life and music so far, COVID realizations, and his new 2022 CD Vision project out on Shifting Paradigm Records. He gets into that. This modern arrangement of folk lullabies, laments, hymns, and festival songs is catchy and good. We get into all of this and so much more. Enjoy the interview.
Joe Domino, Neon Jazz Radio in Kansas City.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying a beautiful day in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, Ohio, right on. Very cool.
Yeah.
The land of Ernie Krivda, huh?
Yeah, I didn't. You know Ernie Krivda, huh? Okay.
Yeah, we interviewed a few years ago, and I'm always interested and allured by the history of Cleveland. They kind of remind me of Kansas City, how they can kind of fall into this sports trap and somehow find their way out of it.
Hey, yeah, you're not wrong about that.
So anyway, hey, thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Thank you, man. It's an honor.
So let's start off here. I guess before we get into the brand new album, I want to know, you know, the snow globe, the proverbial world snow globe, was turned upside down and shaken violently for the past couple of years, especially for musicians. So my question is, how did you survive and kind of what did you learn over this time that's going to make you stronger as you reemerge with the new album and hopes for live shows?
That's a great question, and it's funny because it's a question that I feel like I've been asking myself for the past 2 years as well. I think a lot of us have. You know, I think that it's kind of forced some things to the surface for many of us. The thing that I like to use to, as kind of an analogy is that I feel like we were, for a minute there, especially in my career, and I feel like this is the same for a lot of other people, just felt like we were all kind of spinning on this hamster wheel, if you will. And the pandemic shook that up in a way where everything stopped, and it gave us a minute to question, why are we doing what we're doing? You know, and do we want to keep doing what we're doing? Because if it wasn't for that violent of a shakeup, as you mentioned, then we would still just all be on those hamster wheels. You know, I think we would still just be running away at the same frantic pace, trying to keep up in the same ways that we had before. And for me, you know, being a sideman since I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, I've never really wanted to put in the time of being a leader. And I always felt like too much work to me. But I did know one thing for certain, which was like if I ever did become a leader, I wanted it to be of a project or of something that like really inspired me and felt like it had enough of a voice. And so I think the last 2 years in particular have been really influential in helping me make this step forward as a leader, because it made me realize that out of all the things that I was doing, this gave me a great fulfillment, and I finally found a project that I felt like not only showcased my personal musical voice, but also connected so strongly to my heritage, which is something I also take great pride in. So I think these last 2 years have basically just motivated me to kind of take a leap of faith in these things and just to not take for granted the time that we have to work on this stuff, to not be so bogged down by the need to take every gig or to make every buck possible, but to take enough time and to do the things necessary to just enjoy the ride, if that makes any sense.
No, it does, and you know, I've done a lot of interviews and thought a lot about the world of jazz because I've been covering this for so long, and I think of all the artists that are alive out there, this pandemic probably catered more to how you all have to approach the stage every time. It's all improv. It's 100%. You get up there and you make the best out of it. That's kind of what COVID was, but I think that the other very good thing that happened too is that I think jazz musicians especially have always kind of been controlled by forces that don't give them what they deserve, monetarily speaking, or, you know, just give back what they put into it. I think now a lot of musicians picked up technical skills and other pieces of know-how that have allowed them to to hopefully be more in control of their destiny as things open up.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, you saw a surge in, like, suddenly jazz musicians know how to edit videos on their computer, you know, or record at home. You know, they're buying software to record, do concerts from home and live stream and all this stuff. And in that sense, it was really amazing, too, because so much of the business right now is self-promotion, whether it be social media or whatever. And so it was interesting to see kind of all my peers kind of take a step up in that realm as well.
You have a new album out, and, you know, the opportunity for to perform live and to do things that haven't existed for the last couple of years is here. But just overall, how does it feel to have this kind of, I guess, maybe a rebirth, a phoenix moment to kind of get back at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all kind of felt this surge, not only from each other as artists, but also society, that people are ready to get back out there. They're ready to see my live music. They're wanting to return back to normal. And so I think there's already like a certain amount of excitement just in getting back out there. But then I think when you know, couple that up with a project that is this close to, I hate to sound cheesy, but this close to my heart, I think it makes it kind of even feel like tenfold. You know, it's even more important to me. It's even more exciting for me because, yeah, like I said, I never thought that I would be in this situation. I never thought that I would lead my own group. And then just this research and this the encouragement of my professor when I was finishing up my degree in composition really helped me understand that this was an opportunity.
As you very well know, there are so many choices that consumers can make with music. And I want to know, for those that either buy or download your new album, what do you hope they ultimately get from this experience?
That's a great question. And I think that specific part of the equation is really important to me because as a musician, one thing that I realized about my craft early on was that I enjoy making music that is accessible to people. I enjoy an audience, whether they know anything about jazz or not. I want them to feel like they can understand something, like they can take away something from each performance. And so there are many layers to this, but with A La Boata, the thing that we're most excited about is that this is folk music, ultimately, at its core. And people resonate with it. It's been really surprising. You know, to me, it's interesting. To me, it's exciting, but you never know how the audience is going to respond. And with the shows that we've done, what I've been most impressed with is how it really seems to kind of touch the humanness of us all, that like the humanness of the folk music shines through. I think that human experience that's shared in every culture is what makes folk music folk music. It's music of the people. And I think that is one aspect that I want to come across, that humanist aspect, and that this is just another iteration of folk music. Yes, it's heavily influenced by jazz, but this is just now my voice being added to the thousands, the millions of voices before that have gotten a chance to, you know, be a part of this music. And then, you know, for me, it's been a fulfilling experience to dig into my roots, to check out my musical heritage and find this connection. And I think that at the core of A La Boata and our mission is to hopefully inspire other people that they can find these gems in their musical heritage, that they can find inspiration regardless of how you're creating, whether it's visual art or what have you. I think that there's so much that can be said about looking back into our roots and just trying to display that our heritage, our musical heritage, is still such a fertile ground for creative development.
So speaking of roots, let's get to your roots. Are you originally from Cleveland?
I am, yeah, yeah.
So
my dad is from Italy.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, yeah, I have my ancestors, my grandparents, my great grandparents originally came from Italy, central Naples, and then struck at Sicily. Yeah, so my dad was full-blooded from Brooklyn, came here to Kansas City to join the military. So, yeah, people sometimes say, how the hell did a Domino end up in Kansas City? and, you know, there's a really big concentration, especially of this last name, up in Pennsylvania.
I
think around Norristown. Yeah, it's weird. In fact, I've been to Italy a few times. I was there in the early 2000s. And all my dad ever wanted me to do, in all of his Italian pride, he said, when you see a telephone book, you go find the name Domino and you rip that page out and bring it back to me. I went to like all of these little sleepy towns, big towns, Rome, Venice, Florence, and I have stacks of pages from all those phone books. Domino name. That's all he wanted. So,
that's
anyway,
amazing.
I didn't mean to divert off of things. But,
no, that's great.
So, talk to me a little bit about how the Jaws of Jazz got into you and how this journey into music being your vocation and profession began.
Yeah. Well, when I was 13, I started to play the drums, but I kind of have always had a fascination with rhythm. And when I was 5, actually, I started tap dancing. It's kind of, rhythm has always been at the center of all of my passions. And then when I was 20, I was actually going to a community college. They had a jazz studies program. And, I was playing in a bunch of rock bands and funk bands. And then I was playing in this jazz ensemble at the community college. And I was just kind of taken aback by it. Because for one of the first times in my musical career, it was like, whoa, I get to add to this conversation. I'm not just like keeping a groove while everyone else is jamming on top of it. Like, I get to say something too in this music, which I found really intriguing and really interesting. And then the more I dug into it, and you hear people like, Max Roach and Tony Williams and Jack DeJohnette, and you're like, wow, all these players not only are interacting and creating in the moment, but they have these super melodic voices. And so then there was this discovery of how do we make the drums a more melodic instrument, and that intrigued me. And so then I ended up going to the New School to finish my undergrad degree. I spent some time in New York, and then we moved back here in 2014. And in the meantime, we spent 3 months in Italy. And, I think that jazz, I think the way that Bill Evans puts it, he has this great interview called The Universal Mind. And I think the way he puts it is that jazz is a process. It's a process of making 1 minute's music in 1 minute's time. To me, and I guess to Bill Evans, it's not about just like swinging, right? It's about creating in the moment. And again, I think that is so inherently human to like want to create in the moment. You find that in all folk music traditions. I think that's an interesting concept too, to how we blend those. But it's just, at this point I've listened to so much jazz and I've spent so much time with it in my career that it's just going to be naturally what comes out anyway, because it's how I hear a lot of harmony and things like that now.
I get it, yeah, and a lot of that harkens to what I think of, why I love it so much. I think there's just there's an innate feeling that goes into it. Once you get into it, it's almost like, smoking a cigarette or getting a tattoo. It's like it's just going to keep on going and going. the deep dive,
yeah,
so to speak. Every day you wake up, you get the chance to create. You get the chance to live your dream. What's the greatest part about being a professional musician for you?
Well, for me, I think that music is a means to relationships. Of course, I love the feeling that I get when I'm making music. I love the feeling that I get when I'm performing. Those are all just every time is like an incredible experience, especially after these 2 years, right? It's like we don't take that for granted at all. But one thing that I I've thought about a lot is that why? Why do I do it? You know, like, what's the point other than just making me feel good, bringing me some joy? What is the purpose beyond that for me in making music? And what I've landed on is that it's a means to creating relationship with people and to sharing life with people, because I meet a group of people that I would never meet otherwise if it wasn't for music. I tend to liken it to like a church or something. You know, people who go to church, they go to these institutions with these random people that they never would have been with otherwise if it wasn't for this single entity, you know what I mean? This church, this faith, or whatever it is that they're believing in. And I just find that so incredible about music, that it's like a church for artists in a certain sense, because we're all coming together, we're all supporting each other, we're all there for each other in this music in that moment, just because of our love for jazz or our love for folk music or whatever it is that we're playing together. And I've just, at this point, I've now, it's like, you know, it's like a currency. You gain all these relationships. And I feel very rich at this point in my career. I feel like I have so many friends across the this nation and across the world that I'm just so thankful to be in relationship with those people. And I just wouldn't be if it wasn't for music. So that to me is ultimately like what keeps me going, what keeps me wanting to get better, what keeps me wanting to explore and create, is because I'm excited about who else it's going to bring me in relationship to. And also, of course, you know, it gets me excited to, because I get to share this music with other people as well.
That's pretty profound, because I think the thing that when we boil down the essentials to life, I think over this pandemic, it's been about that human connection and community. And that's what you're talking about. It's so essential. And it kind of has brought the microscope down on that, so to speak. So let's say we hop off the phone here. The Jazz DeLorean pulls up in front of your house in Cleveland, Ohio, and you can hop in, and you can go anywhere at any time and catch an act live. Where are you going? Who are you going to see?
I mean, I'm just so intrigued by the Miles Quintet of the 60s. I'm just such a fanboy of Tony Williams that I would really love to just see like a week of that group performing together. I just really want to know what that would have been like, because you see the progression of the records from like ESP to Miles Smiles, and you hear like, holy cow, this group is like just doing some stuff that is so interesting and is so profound. And you can hear that each record that goes by, like, they must have played thousands and thousands of hours together. I'm just curious. I just want to know what that looked like on the regular. You know, like, what does it look like to walk into a club and see these guys playing night after night? How much creativity there must have been on that bandstand. I just can't even imagine. So that would be the number one pick for sure. I've always been a huge fan of that quintet.
So as we get back to live music, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music as we get back to it, like collectively, both the musician and the audience?
I think the thing that I would hope is that there's no substitute for live music, that we can have all the technology and all the streaming and all the, and there's just nothing that's going to tick all the boxes like a live performance. And I hope that there's been a new recognition and a new appreciation, not just in the sense of, like, we're happy that it's back, but also, I guess, like, a deeper appreciation of what it takes to make it happen. I just found during the pandemic, I found so many weird moments of people trying to recreate the performance through some kind of live stream, and rarely ever did it come close to ticking off any of the boxes for me of what a live performance is. And I do hope that that has been a light bulb moment, especially for a lot of people that are primarily consuming music on their phones or their laptops or whatever. It's like, man, if you haven't seen a good live performance, or if you, you know, I don't know, I just think there's a new appreciation. I hope there's a new appreciation for it. Let me put it that way. But so far, it seems like that has been the case. We just played at the annual Tri-C Jazz Fest in Cleveland, and it was pretty amazing. It was really incredible to see the support, the droves of people that were out there supporting it.
I think from my end, I'm noticing that. I think there's a different feel, there's a different flavor that's going in to how we all approach this. I mean, I know as somebody that, you know, covers this every time at a show, I always would take a breath in and just look around and realize how magical it was. Like, the last show I caught before the world shut down was March 12th, and it was Bill Frisell, and I've been baptizing my wife in music, and we walked up, and she said, "What's this guy like?" I said, "I have no idea. I don't know what he's going to do." You know,
because there's
a lot of cats where you can be like, all right, Arturo Sandoval, I remember seeing him. He was phenomenal. You know, it's high energy. He's legendary. It's going to just knock you totally loose when you see it. But with Bill, you just didn't know. But this is the thing. During that show, and I've talked about this before, it was unreal. Petra Hayden was singing with him, and it was a trio. And at one point, she stood up and started singing "We Shall Overcome," and everybody started kind of individually getting up and swaying, like we all knew, like cows before a tornado, that something
was
happening.
Oh my God.
It was wild. And then, of course, just to pay homage to the eclectic nature of Bill and what he does, the very next song they cover, "Ziggy Stardust" by David Bowie. So there you go.
To me, that's so amazing. I feel like artists in general, something we need to recognize sometimes is that we are the truth tellers of society. You know, there was a moment, I will never forget this moment. I was playing with this group in Cleveland called Apollo's Fire, and we had this concert that actually Amanda Powell, who's the vocalist in Alabuada, she was singing as well. And there had just been that shooting in the synagogue. Do you remember that a few years ago?
Yeah. Yep.
And she had a traditional tune in Hebrew. And we were in the green room, and we were about to play the second set, and she was like, "I was thinking maybe we should do this song, but it feels like it might be too soon, or maybe it's like too on the nose." And like, we kind of hemmed and hawed about it for a second, and then it hit me. Like, no, we have to do this tune. We have to do this tune because this is our job in society, is to give people the space to think about this. Because in our society, we go through things so quickly. You know, oh, another tragedy. Sad emoji, you know, move on. Oh, another shooting. Oh, man, that's just, something has to change. But then we move on because our lives are crazy, and we're bogged down by all this stuff. And it hit me, like, what we're creating in that moment for those people at that concert is a time to process what just happened, a time to reflect on, to meditate on this tragedy that happened in our country. And like, that's a really profound thing. That's a very profound situation to be in as an artist, and I would just encourage any artist, like, not to forget that's another part of our job description, in my opinion. I know not everyone wants to be that heavy with their music, you know. Some people are just trying to have a party and create some good dance music, and that's okay too. There's room for all of it. But I think for artists, I think it's important that we don't forget that we are the truth tellers of society. And that's something that's always stuck out to me. And I, you know, that story you just shared reminded me about that.
My final question to you is this: you know, everyone has a perception of who you are, like your family, your friends, and your fans. But ultimately, you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
Wow, I don't know if anyone has ever asked me that question before.
This therapy session for the day. I always tackle this question. It's like, what am I doing here? Am I sitting on a bench and you're going to get to the root of everything and heal me?
No, I know that's not possible, so no worries about that.
Right.
I have so many thoughts going through my head, and I have no idea. I feel, you know, I guess I can answer that best by just saying what I hope I am. And what I hope I am is that I hope that I'm a light. I hope that I'm someone that can bring joy and light and hope into a rather dark world. That's what I would hope I am.
I was going to say the highest road to take on this answer is simplicity. And brevity. And because I think sometimes it's a daunting question, but anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that, I mean, that's it. I think I would want to impart. If those words are anywhere read at a memorial service or whatever, then I feel like that will have been a success.
And that is a very fitting way to wrap it all up. Anthony, thank you for taking some time out today. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you. This was such a pleasure, and I really appreciate your heart for the music and everything that you're doing for our community, man. It's, you know, every single one of these makes a difference, and so I just really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Cleveland, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Anthony for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz@youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com or visit joedomino.com. And there you can kick in via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.